Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
على شفي الأنبياء سيد المرسلين نبينا حبيبنا شفيعنا قرة أعيننا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خيرا for the introduction, Wahid. Really, just before I start, we have to thank Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala for allowing us to be here in what is the 22nd Ramadan fast of the month of Ramadan, Shahr al-Kareem. And we are in one of those odd nights where we are required to seek out the Laylatul Qadr, the night which is better than 1,000 months. And in the Hanafi madhab anyway, Laylatul Qadr is the afdalul layali sana. It is the best night of the year. Laylatul Qadr is the best night of the entire year. And talabuha mustahabun, and to seek the night is mustahab, is recommended. We should have people trying to look out for the signs of Laylatul Qadr, engaged in that work. We are also, of course, without doubt, in the last 10 days. The last 10 days is really unique in the month of Ramadan. The Ramadan month is unique anyway, but especially so. And in this month, of course, the ulama tell us that we should, and our parents, of course, told us we should try and up the gear in our ibadah. We should try and do a bit more recitation, try and do a bit more dhikr, try and do a bit more, you know, looking into ourselves and seeing whether our states as a human being, our ahwal, our state as a human being, is something, if it was brought before Allah, it would be acceptable. If it was shown to Allah, it would be acceptable. And really, these states, the ulama say, have to be attained through the subject of today, which is the tazkiyatun nufus, the purification of the soul. And it leads me to the topic today. I really want to discuss very, very, very briefly, given the time constraints and how vast this subject is. Minds that are greater than ours, who are giants, and we are only dust at their feet. They are the giants of knowledge, have talked about this subject and have delved deep. There is no way that I'm going to be able to even scratch the surface tonight. But I want to give some outline on what Tazkiyatun Nafs is by some of the classical scholars, and some dangerous things about Tazkiyatun Nafs that we should be on guard against in case we do an incorrect method of Tazkiyatun Nafs. So I will be, inshaAllah ta'ala, quote some of these scholars who have talked about pitfalls of incorrectly trying to purify ourselves. But before I start, I know you've had the first instalment of a Kamal that talked about reason, al-aql. You see, as Muslims, we have to have, our thinking has to be right. As Muslims, our thinking has to be right. You see, our scholars have written loads and loads and loads of books about how to think correctly. Not how to think in a fuzzy way, but how to think properly. And because if we don't think correctly, if our thinking process is faulty, all over the place, then our beliefs could be faulty. Our aqidah, our belief could be faulty. As an example, if my thinking is incorrect, if I don't have clear, correct way of thinking, I may misunderstand something about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I might read something in the Quran and say, how can Allah do this? Why does Allah do that? How can He do this? Allah says He has a hand. What does it mean? So I can start to confuse myself if I don't have my thinking correct. And the ulama have, in all their books written about this, the whole science of usul al-fiqh. Does anyone know what usul al-fiqh is? It's the study, the theoretical study, the principles of Islamic law. You know, our sacred law, the Sharia, has some principles the ulama have laid down of how to understand it. Otherwise, we can't just understand hadith and Quran just by reading it. Yeah, what does that say? We can't do that. We need some principles to guide us. That principle is supposed to help us think about the ayat of the Quran. Help us think about the hadith. We can't just jump straight in. It's just like swimming. Some people, most people actually, can't just dive in the swimming pool and think they can do backstrokes for 100 meters, 200 meters. You need a coach to show you how to do the strokes, how fast your feet should be flapping behind you and so on. You need a coach. And these principles is what the ulama laid down to train our thinking and understanding about the Quran and Hadith. Similarly, just like the ulama have put down principles of how to think correctly, the ulama have laid down guidelines of how to behave correctly. Not only how to behave correctly, but how to shape our emotions, our feelings, what's inside of us, how to shape that so it fits in with what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam brought. So Islam tells us how to think correctly, how to behave correctly. So how to fix our aql and how to fix this thing inside here, which we're going to discuss very, very briefly tonight. You see, the ulama have written books and books about the human qalb, the heart. Not the organ that pumps blood, not that. That used to be studying biology, this way and that way. Yeah, not that. There is something inside of us. We have a soul, a ruh, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with a ruh. We don't know the nature of this ruh. He's created a qalb inside us, which we call the heart. And another thing which the scholars mentioned, because it's from the Quran, a nafs. A nafs. The nafs. What is the nafs? What is this thing called the nafs? The nafs, the word occurs over 350 times in the Quran. With many, many, many different meanings, over 20 meanings. But really, to summarize it, the nafs is like this invisible part of us, the soul. Ego soul, the nafs that has all our emotions, make us do good things, make us do bad things, pulls us one way, pulls us the other way. Whatever that thing is, we've all got it. And the ulama have talked about how do we fix this thing up, just like we fix our minds up, because we can't believe anything we want, right? In Islam, can we believe anything we want, can we? No, we can't. We can't just believe, yeah, that statue, I'm just going to worship it. Yeah, that person over there, I'm going to follow them. In Islam, we can't do what we want. Can we do what we want in Islam? We can't. We have our sacred law, the Sharia, that tells us what we can do, what we can't do. Similarly, with regards to our nafs, this thing inside us, that tells us sometimes to do bad things, and how to purify it. And so this is really what I want to touch on. And the basis for purifying the nafs is from the Quran. The basis for purifying the nafs, this thing inside us that's got all these emotions, bad and good, is from the Quran. It's not made up. And the ayah, I'll quote two ayah from the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم He says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Whoever fears the maqam, meaning the punishment, the hisab, when Allah will bring everyone on Yawm al-Qiyamah and say, right, you did that, I know that, you did this, you did that. Here's your history of everything you did. Whoever fears the maqam of his Rabb, of his Lord, and then وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى, and then protects or prevents his nafs from the hawa. The hawa is like, when we do anything we want. When we want to do all the bad things. It comes from our hawa. When we do all the bad things we want. Allah says, whoever stops themselves from doing the bad stuff of their nafs, whoever prevents them from doing that, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى, the place for him will be al-Jannah. Paradise will be reserved for him. Which means then, from this ayah, that if we don't purify our nafs, if we don't clean it, if we don't cleanse it out, we can't enter Jannah. I might have my head straight, but if my heart or my nafs isn't straight, if it's crooked, and yet I can't enter Jannah, I can't enter paradise. I may know all the hadith in the world, I may know all the ayat, but if my inside, my nafs, is still doing what it pleases, doesn't follow the sharia, I'm in trouble. I can't enter Jannah. It's conditional for me to enter paradise to fix up this thing inside us, the nafs. That's the first ayah. The second ayah from the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. He is successful who purifies it, purifies his soul, his nafs. And he who is failed, who doesn't, who doesn't do that. What do some of the Mufassirun mention? I'll give you a tafsir from Imam Sulami, who I'm studying at the moment for my PhD. He wrote in his Haqa'iq al-Tafsir, he quotes the Arifun, the people who have knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regarding this verse. And they say, and he quotes them saying, that one person, one shaykh for Abu Bakr al-Warraq, he mentions about this verse, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Successful is he who purifies his nafs, his soul. Successful is he. That means for us to attain falah, success in the hereafter and in the dunya, we have to purify our nafs, we've got to clean it. He says the meaning of this verse is that he mentions, makes a comment. He says, لَمْ يَجْعَلْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ شَيْءٌ. He says, Allah has not made something in this dunya or in the akhirah أَخْبَثْ مِنَّ الْهَوَى الْمُخَالِفِ لِلْحَقِّ. That the worst thing created in this dunya and in the akhirah is the nafs that goes against the haqq, the truth. Is a person's soul who doesn't care about the truth. It does whatever it wants. It goes against the haqq, the truth. So you've got a person, his nafs is out of control. He or she knows that they're not supposed to do something, but then they do it, they say, I don't care. I don't care if it's the truth, I'm going to go against it. Because I want to do it, The nafs has taken over that person to do bad stuff. So Imam As-Sulami quotes another scholar, another early shaykh, Fudail ibn Iyad. And he says that Fudail ibn Iyad, radiallahu anhu, he says, أَفْضَلُ أَعْمَالِ خِلَافُ هَوَى nafs. The best action, the best thing to do, is to go against your nafs. Is to go against it, is to fight it. Is to fight its desire, that you want to do what you want. Get just pleasure in this dunya. Don't care about what you do. Don't care about Allah, don't care about His Messenger, don't care about Islam. You just want to satisfy yourself. He says, أَفْضَلُ أَعْمَالِ خِلَافُ هَوَى النَّفْسِ. The best thing to do, the best action, is going against your nafs, is fighting your nafs. And then he quotes the ayah, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Whoever prevents their nafs from doing what it likes, Allah, insha'Allah, will guarantee paradise for them. So that's just some more quotes just to give you what this means. What does it mean to purify your nafs? Success, aflah. The verse says, success is linked to doing what Allah has ordered and staying away from what Allah has prohibited. Aflaha, man alima yuradu minhu wa ma yukhata bihi, wa khaba man ahmala dhalik. He is successful who seeks to do what Allah has commanded him to do, and the person who does not do that has failed. So if we do not follow the standard of our law, our sacred law, the Sharia, we are not going to survive. There's no hope for us. There's no hope for us. Another quote. What does aflaha here mean? Imam al-Sulaymi mentions one of the other shaykhs. He mentions that aflaha man dawama ala al-ibada wal-ubudiyya li Rabbi. Being successful means someone who is continuously doing ibadah and, you know, being in servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Successful is one who is constantly engaged in ibadah to Allah. And he doesn't take anyone else as his Lord. He doesn't even take his hawa, his passions, as his Lord. Whatever he feels like doing, whatever he feels like, he doesn't care. Whoever can control that, restrain it, like restraining a horse. Or we see those people who try and tame wild bulls in the ring. Whoever can tame the nafs like that, he will be successful. Okay, so from these ayat, we know, we can understand in a basic way that we have to purify our nafs. We have to clean it out. We have to clean it out. We have to fix it up, just like we have to fix up our minds. We can't believe anything we want to believe. We cannot think any way we want to think. Similarly, we cannot do as we please and behave as we please and have our internal states and conditions as we please. They have to be in accordance with our sacred law. Okay. What then? To go on to tazkiyatun nafs, purifying the nafs. What I want to now address really, before we close, is some perhaps dangerous ideas that ulama warned us against when we're trying to do tazkiyatun nafs. When we're trying to do tazkiyatun nafs. And I just want to quote an advice, which I'll be quoting quite more of him, of an Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah. He was a hafiz of hadith. Now, of course, we have a hafiz of Qur'an. Someone who's memorized the Quran, all of it. It's in his sadr, it's in his chest, it's in his heart. There are also hufaz, hafiz of hadith. Someone who at least has memorized between 60 to 100,000 hadiths. And al-hafiz Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah was one of them. He was one of the top scholars of hadith. He reached one of the highest levels of hadith. He even wrote books, many, many books. Some of them were How to Purify the Heart. Anyway, he mentioned, just a point to be aware of, he mentioned that tazkiyatun nufus, purifying the heart, purifying the nafs, purifying the nafs would be a better term. أصعب من علاج الأبدان وأشد. It is more difficult and more serious than treating the body. Purifying the nafs, the nafs, you see, we can't touch it. That your internal emotions, your feelings, that ruh inside you, that soul, you can't touch it. You can't touch it and say, yeah, I will check its temperature. How big is it? You can't touch it. But it's inside you, it's your emotions, it's your feelings, it's your inclinations. The way you feel towards something, the way there's an inner pull, you can't touch it. So Imam Ibn Qayyim is saying that tazkiyatun nufus as'ab min ilaj al-abdan wa ashad. is more serious and more difficult than merely treating the body with some medicine. You cut your hand, you can put some plaster on, maybe put some TCP. I know Bengalis use Vicks, yeah, on everything. You can use a bit of that, and it'll work. Put a bandage on, it'll work. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim saying your nafs isn't like that. It is a difficult thing. He's saying that's why it's very serious and very hard. And he says, and he continues, فَمَنْ زَكَّ نَفْسَهُ Whoever purifies his nafs, whoever purifies it, بِالْرِيَاضَ وَالْمُجَاهَدَ وَالْخَلْوَ With, you know, training, riyadha, training, وَمُجَاهَدَ And really fighting your nafs. And khalwa, removing yourself. Sometimes do dhikr by yourself and so on. Removing yourself from people for a little while. Whoever does this, but, does it, does all this, الَّتِي لَمْ يَجِئْ بِهَا رُسُولٌ فَهُوَ كَالْمَرِيدٌ Whoever tries to purify his nafs without doing it with what the messengers have brought, really, he is like someone who is ill. Really, he's like someone who is ill. Someone who is ill, الَّذِي يُعَالِجُ نَفْسَهُ بِرَأْيِهِ He is like someone who's trying to purify himself with his own opinion. And what did we say at the beginning? We can't do what we want. We can't think what we want. We have to do it according to some sacred standard, and that is our religion. So Imam Ibn al-Qayyim is saying, whoever tries to purify his nafs, without basing it on what the messengers have brought, he is like an ill person, and it's as if he's trying to fix it himself with his own personal opinion. And then he mentions, وَأَيْنَ يَقَعُ رَأْيُهُ مِنْ مَعْرِفَةِ الطَّبِيبِ What about someone's opinion in front of a doctor who knows, who is a specialist? And he says, فَالرُّسُلُ أَطِبَّاءُ الْقُلُوبِ The messengers of Allah, عليهم السلام, including our messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are أَطِبَّاءُ الْقُلُوبِ They are the doctors of the heart, the nafs. They are the doctors, they have the remedy. They have the solution. فَلَا سَبِيلَ إِلَىٰ تَزْكِيَتِهَا وَصِلَاحِهَا إِلَّا مِنْ طَرِيقِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَيْدِيهِمْ بِمَحَبْدِ الْإِنْقِيَادِ وَالتَّسْلِيمِ لَهُمْ There is no way you can purify your nafs, fix this inside part, based on your own mind. We have to follow what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in our case has brought. We cannot purify our nafs without going to the standard that he brought, which is the sacred law. The Sharia, which includes, of course, the Sunnah of our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Moving on very quickly, I know we haven't got time. I really want to touch on a particular idea which we have to be very, very careful of. And Ibn al-Qayyim mentions this much further, gives more advice about this, and it is this. Some people think that if you purify the nafs, you cannot do anything else. You cannot be engaged in any other action or any other ibadat or any other duties until you have perfected yourself. Meaning, even if there is bad things going on around society, the munkarat are going on, and evils are going on in society, we shouldn't try and engage with it until we fix our own self first. Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim, they mention this and they address this point saying, this has to be tackled. And I just want to give you another quote by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, who asked his Shaykh, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, about this, about people who are continually engaged in purifying their nafs, but they don't look at what's going on outside around them. They go inward, they only look at themselves, they try and fix themselves, but they do not look around what's going on around in society, their family, their friends, around what's going on in the Muslim community even, or the Muslim ummah globally. And he asks, his sheikh, he says, وَسَأَلْتُ يَوْمًا شَيْخَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِبْنْ تَيْمِيَّ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ I asked Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ عن هذه المسألة regarding this particular issue وقطع الآفات واشتغال بتنقية الطريق وبتنفيذها He says, I asked my Shaykh regarding the issue of, people who have faults in their nafs, people who have, a lot of bad things in them, and they want to purify that, they want to clean that. But they always do that and they don't do anything else. What was his reply? So Sheikh Al-Yusuf, he says, قَالَ لِي جُمْلَةَ كَلَامِهِ. He said to me in summary form, he says, النفس, the nafs, the soul, مثل الباطوس. That the nafs is like batus. What is batus? Batus, he says, وَهُوَ جُبُّ الْقَذَرِ. The nafs is like garbage. Is like garbage. He says, كُلَّمَا نَبَشْتَهُ ظَهَرَ وَخَرَجَ. The more you try and dig into the garbage, the more garbage you're going to bring out. Your nafs is like garbage, a pile of garbage. The more you try and jump in it and try and clean it, the more it's going to come out. He says, what you should then try and do is تُسَقِّفَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَعْبُرُهُ وَتَجُوزُهُ. You should try and, you know, you should try and cross over it. You should try and cross over it. Not preoccupy yourself with it. If you try and pick out and clean every single mistake that you have about yourself, more is going to come up. You're never going to end. You're never going to end. And he continues. He says, you will never arrive. فَإِنَّكَ لَنْ تَصِلْ إِلَىٰ خِلَالِهِ كُلَّمَا نَبَشْتَ شَيْئًا ظَهَرَ غَيْرُ. The more you dig deep into that pile of rubbish, which is your nafs, the more you're going to get dirt thrown in your face, and you're never going to reach your destination. Your destination is to get to Allah with a sound heart. You want to worship Allah properly. You want to follow all of His commands. But if you keep preoccupying yourself with every little thing because you haven't attained perfection, you're never going to get there. You're never going to get there. Just to give you another example, Ibn al-Qayyim then asked the Shuyukh of Sham, of Syria, he asked them, سَأَلْتُ عَنْ هَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ. I asked بعد الشيوخ عَنْ هَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ. I asked the Shuyukh about this thing of constantly trying to purify yourself and make yourself perfect before you go out in society and try and change it. What did the Shuyukh of Sham say? What did the Shuyukh of Syria say? They replied the following, مِثَالُ آفَاتِ النَّفْسِ مِثَالُ الْحَيَّاتِ وَالْعَقَارِ فِي الطَّرِيقِ. They said, the problems that every individual has in their nafs, the problems of their soul, their nafs, are like scorpions and snakes in the street. They're like scorpions and snakes in the street. فِي الطَّرِيقِ الْمُسَافِرِ. So imagine you're travelling in the street, and there are snakes everywhere and scorpions everywhere, wherever you go, miles along miles. The shuyukhs then say, فَإِنْ أَقْبَلَ عَلَىٰ تَفْتِيشِ تَرِكْ عَنْهَا وَالْإِشْتِغَالِ بِقَتْلِهَا إِنْ قَطَعَ وَلَمْ يُمْكِنُهُ السَّفَرْ قَطُّ. If you try and kill every snake and every scorpion, you're trying to get from A to B, you try and kill every scorpion, every snake along the way, and there's loads along the way, you are never going to get to where you want to get to. Because you're so preoccupied in trying to kill that scorpion, isn't dead, and chop its leg off. That snake, I chopped its head off, I turn it inside out. Every snake you try and do that, or every scorpion on the road you try and kill, it's going to take up your time. Before you know it, you're never going to get to where you want to get to. They said, وَلَكِنْ لَتَكُنْ هَمَّتَكَ الْمَصِيرُ وَالْإِعْرَاضُ عَنْهَا وَعَدَمِ الْإِلْتِفَاتِ إِلَيْهَا فَإِذَا عَرَضَ لَكَ فِيهَا مَا يَعُوقُ عَنِ الْمَصِيرُ فَاقْتُلُهُ. If, however, you're travelling, your destination is to get to where you want to get to. If some snakes get in the immediate way of your destination, kill it, yes. Similarly, if there are problems in your nafs that arise, yes, get rid of it straight away. But if you try and go for every single fault at once to try and clear, you know, cleanse your nafs, you're never going to get there. Because perfection you can't get to. You can never become perfectly clean. Imagine, take a table. Imagine you polish it every day. Yeah, you. By the time you go to sleep, some dust is going to fall on there. But imagine you just take this one table and you keep polishing it, but you don't clean anything else in the house. Just that one table next to your bedside, because it's where you put your stuff. Yeah? Imagine if you just keep cleaning that, and you don't look at what's going on around you in other parts of your house, they're going to collect dust. It's impossible that you try and clean everything up every time, all at once. It's impossible. So the ulama of Sham, they say, this isn't the way you should purify your nafs. This is the way you should tackle your faults. You should tackle them when they arise. Deal with it there and then. Box it out.
But if you try and box everything, every problem you got in your nafs at once, you're never going to get to where you want to get to. And I want to just close, I know we haven't got time, but I really, really want to close with a quote Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned. And it's really about us who are, we know what's going on around the world. We know what's going on in our nafs. We're trying to perfect our nafs. We're trying to become better people inside. We're trying to make our emotions and feelings and inclinations in line with what Allah and His Messenger brought. But that does not mean we are silent and we don't look at what's going on around our society. When we're trying to help our local community or working on global issues to change the situation, we don't then say, well, I'm not a perfect person yet before I can do all this. This is wrong. This is wrong. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim mentions why. And this quote is really pertinent for us today. It really hits the bullseye. And I really want to quote it very quickly. And then we'll close, insha'Allah. So Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions, وَقَدْ غَرَّ الْإِبْلِيسِ أَكْثَرَ الْخَلْقِ. That Iblis has misled many, many people. How? How has he misled many, many people? Well, حَسَّنَ لَهُمَ الْقِيَامِ بِنَوْعٍ مِنَ الذِّكْرِ وَالْقِرَاءَةِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَالصِّيَامِ وَالزُّهْرِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْإِنْقِطَعِ مِنْهُ. The shaitan, Iblis, has made ibadat, extra ibadat, like doing dhikr, fasting, praying extra rak'at at night time, you know, removing yourself, zuhud, living with a little, at the expense of, or neglecting the obligatory duties. وَعَطَلُوا هَذِهِ الْعُبُودِيَّاتِ وَلَمْ يُحَدِّثُوا بِخُلُوبِهِمْ لِقِيَامِ بِهَا وَهَؤُلَاءِ عِنْدَ وَرْثَةِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ يَعْنِي الْعُلَمَاءِ مِنْ أَقَلِّ النَّاسِ دِينًا. Those people who engage in just doing dhikr, just doing extra salah, extra fast, and extra, you know, prayers, without neglecting, without looking at what the obligatory things are, the ulama consider these people as being the most irreligious people. The most irreligious people. Why? Why? Why do the ulama say these are the least people in the deen who know all the munkarat that's going on in society, but yet they withdraw themselves, say we're purifying ourselves, we're only doing dhikr, we're only doing extra prayer, only extra fast. We're not going to engage with the problems in society. Why are these people aqallun nas deenan? Why? فَإِنَّ الدِّينَ هُوَ الْقِيَامُ لِلَّهِ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Because the deen, the essence of the deen, is to follow what Allah has commanded, all of it. Then he mentions, وَتَارِكُ حُقُوقِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى الَّتِي تَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ أَسْوَأْ حَالًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Whoever leaves the rights of Allah, the حُقُوق of Allah, leaving his ahkam, not fulfilling the rights due to Allah, to worship Him comprehensively, he is أَسْوَأْ حَالًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He is a person in the worst state. How can he be purifying his nafs? He's in the worst state. His nafs is in the worst state. Ibn Qayyim, he continues, وَمَنْ لَهُ خَبْرًا بِمَا بَعَثَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَبِمَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ هُوَ وَأَصْحَابِهِ رأى أن أكثر من يشار إليه بالدين هم أقل الناس دينا. That whoever has even some knowledge of what Allah and His Messenger brought and His Sahaba رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين brought, they are people really today who are the least people of the religion, the most irreligious people. Those who claim to know a bit about what Allah and His Messenger have brought and His companions. That today, if we look at people who are doing this, just purifying their nafs by themselves, but not looking at the society, really, these are the people who are the most irreligious. Then Shaykh al-Islam continues, وَأَيُّ دِينَ وَأَيُّ خَيْرٍ. What religion, what good are you talking about? فِي مَنْ يَرَى مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى تَنْتَهِي وَحُدُودَهُ تُضَعْ وَدِينَهُ يُتْرَكْ وَسُنَّةَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُرْغَبْ عَنْهَا. What kind of deen is this? What kind of good is this? When someone who is busy purifying their nafs and sees that the Allah's sanctity, His religion, His sacred law, His messenger are being attacked, overturned, violated, the sunnah or the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being removed. What kind of good or deen is this? And yet the person is barid al-qalb, his heart is cold to that, he doesn't look to that. Was sakit, and he's quiet, he doesn't say anything. He's just busy purifying himself, when outside the maharim of Allah, the sacred things to Allah are being violated. What kind of deen is this? What kind of khayr is this? How can this be our religion? How can this be good? And then he quotes, As-sakit ala al-haq, shaitan al-akhras. Whoever is silent on the truth is a deaf shaitan. Whoever is silent on the truth is like a deaf shaitan. So we know the evils that are going on, the munkarat that are going on, yet, we don't address it because we think that we have to perfect ourselves completely before we can go out in society and help people and change people. The Shuyukh al-Sham definitely say this is not correct. And Imam Ibn Qayyim, he mentions, this can't be good, because what will happen is that Allah and His Messenger will be attacked. The values of Islam will be attacked. The deen of Islam will be attacked and belittled. And what are we doing? We are saying we are busy purifying our nafs, killing our scorpions and our snakes. Killing our scorpions and our snakes and not looking into the wajibat, the obligations that need to be addressed. The obligations that need to be addressed. The munkarat in society. And of course, we know the biggest munkar is the removal of the ahkam, the removal of our sacred laws from society. We know this is the biggest munkar, where the ahkam, the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absent. So how can we think that we will bring about the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessing, the contentment of Allah, by just purifying our nafs and not looking around what's going on around us, saying, we will try and perfect ourselves first before we go out in society to try and change or help it or help to revive it. So really, just to conclude that from what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah mentioned, quoting books from earlier scholars, they didn't sit there and make it up. They were quoting from earlier scholars that we cannot keep silent over the munkar, over the evil that's in society. To keep silent doesn't positively add to your tazkiyatun nafs, it negatively adds to it. Because you're keeping silent over someone attacking what Allah deems as sacred. You are overlooking, ignoring what Allah deems as sacred, inviolable. It is forbidden to remain silent over the munkar, because that action is linked to shaitan. We know that in the hadith. Man sakin ala al-haq shaitan al-akhras. Whoever is silent over the haq, shaitan al-akhras, is like a deaf shaitan. We know that the purification of the nafs is a conditional upon entering Jannah. But purification of the nafs, tazkiyatun nafs, does not mean I exclude myself from the whole world and let everything break away and crumble away, even my own family, thinking that as long as I'm alright, as long as I keep polishing it, I'll be alright. Well, it's not. That's not the case. Fourthly, we cannot neglect a fard over a sunnah or a mustahab action. A wajib takes precedence over your voluntary act. A fard takes precedence over a voluntary act. Whoever mixes the two round, that's dangerous. And we know, just to conclude, and you know, we see in the media all the time, we hear it from brothers talking, giving talks and speeches, we hear it from our imams telling us from the pulpit, we hear it from our scholars telling us that Islam is under attack, and you know, the Muslim values are under attack. How can we think that in order to prevent all this, we remove ourselves from engaging with it and try and purify nafs until we become perfect? We can never become perfect in that sense. It is like snakes and scorpions in the street, like the Shaykh al-Sham said. The more you try and kill every single one, you'll never get to your destination.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran Tafsir, and Sira are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.